Well, let's come to the Word of God. Let's read Matthew chapter 14, verses 22-36. That's Matthew 14, and beginning to read at verse 22. Matthew 14, and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came worshipping him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought him unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. This is God's holy word. The heading I've got for this morning's thoughts is, what we bear determines what we'll wear. What we bear determines what we will wear. In Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus tells them there, no cross, no crown. No cross, no crown. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he's talking there about picking up your cross. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And in Matthew chapter 25, where he says, No cross, no crown, that's when the judgment is. And he says to the people there, those that are standing on his left hand side. Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So whatever we bear determines what we will wear. It talks about the cross and it talks about the crown. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, it tells us there that the Lord has laid up for us a crown of righteousness. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4, it talks there that he's laid up for us a crown of glory. And then in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, it tells us there that we'll be given a crown of life. So the scriptures would tell us that that which we bear determines on what we will wear. My dear friends, if you don't bear the cross, as Jesus Christ said, then there's no crown. And God, in His mercy and in His goodness and in His grace, He has seen us through another year. And I asked myself when I was thinking about this, what is your testimony at the beginning of a new year? We've all arrived. We started last year on January the 1st. We saw January the 31st, and we're here today. What's your testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your testimony Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20? Jeremiah 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Or could your testimony be the Song of Songs chapter 5 and verses 9 to 16? What a difference. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than any other beloved, that thou dost so charge us? And here's the testimony. This is the one who has seen us through the year. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as his ravens. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon the sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is more sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. He's seen us through another year, and we know that this may be, they'll be going out on the internet. So I may be speaking to someone who might just, as we would call it by chance, switch on. I know what our testimony is this morning, because we're here. Our testimony is not Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 20. We are not saved. This should be our testimony. Song of Solomon's chapter 5 verses 9 to 16. This is my beloved. This is my friend. He is the altogether one. My dear friend, is that our testimony this morning? Is this the one that has seen us through this last year? This is the same one who will see us through this year, if he deems it fit to see us through the year. But depending on what we bear is depending on what we will wear. No cross, no crown. A cross, then a crown. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 25 tells us there, be not afraid of sudden fear. And I was thinking about this, Peter here, and beginning to sink, he cried saying, Lord, save me. Peter, in our reading, experienced fear because of sudden fear. It tells us there he began to sink. And he realized for the first time three things that we need to realize, and whoever is listening to this needs to realize. And Peter realized this first, his hopelessness in his situation. The Lord Jesus had said to him, and he had witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water, not wading through the water, but walking on the water. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, come and join me. And Peter was walking on the water. And then he started to take his eyes off the Saviour, and he started to look at the situation round about him, the waves and the wind. And he discovered for the first time his hopeless situation. He began to sink. Secondly, I believe that he discovered for the first time his own inability in the situation. It's interesting that it says he began to sink. If you throw something in the water, it just sinks. If you jump into the water, you just sink. But it's interesting here that it says he began. He had that faith, but wasn't a strong faith. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water, and he believed that he could do it at the Lord's instigation. But then he started to think about what was round about him. And he saw that it was a hopeless situation, and his own inability in the situation. And how many people in this last year have seen something of a hopeless situation and their own inability in that situation to do anything concerning it? And thirdly, I believe he found out this. His only hope was in to cry to the one who brought him into the situation. He couldn't turn round and go back to the boat. He couldn't ask the people in the boat to throw him a rope. He realised that the one that had invited him into the situation was the only one who can save him in that situation. And that's the only hope for a person today. We're in a hopeless situation, and that we have been born in sin, and that the Bible says that we are all sinners. We're in a hopeless situation. God says all has sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We're in a hopeless situation. Paul tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. He tells us in Romans that we have no strength. He tells us there that we are enemies of God, fighting against the God who created us. What a situation. It's like someone standing against that bomb that dropped on Hiroshima and trying to stop it from hitting the ground or from exploding before it comes to the ground. It's just a hopeless situation. None of the Japanese could have stopped it. It was a hopeless situation. And we cannot save ourselves because we are dead. Dead in our trespasses and sins. We have no ability. Paul tells us again in that same portion in Romans chapter 5 that we have no strength, that we are his enemies. In Hirschman-Sue, in this last year, about 5 people have been taken into eternity. And they had no ability to save themselves. When God calls them, then they had to go. Two of them that I know of were saved. And God called them into his presence. The other ones, I don't know where they stood. but they couldn't help themselves. It's a hopeless situation, and there's this great inability. And Peter's only hope was to cry to the one who brought him into this situation. Every situation God ordains. Every situation that people come into are different. But it's all for the same end, that God would be glorified. Every situation. God never does nothing that will not bring glory to Himself. Every situation that we find ourselves in, it's for God's glory. Where was Jesus? He began to sink. Where was Jesus? Jesus was in the water with them. And when things happen to us, where is Jesus? Jesus is with us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 and verses 8. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then in verse 8, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Where was Jesus? Jesus was in the situation. It was Jesus who caused the situation. It reminded me of in Mark chapter 4, at the end of Mark chapter 4, we have a similar situation in the water in the boat. Mark chapter 4, verses 36 to 41, when the boat was almost sinking and the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep in the hinder of the boat, and they were crying out, Lord, don't you care that we are going to perish? It was the same cry here, beginning to sink. He said, Lord, save me. Where was Jesus then? Jesus was on the boat. Who was it that caused the situation? It was Jesus who said to them the night before, let's go across to the other side. And they all got into the boat and the storm came. It was Jesus that was there in the situation. In every situation we find ourselves in this coming year, Jesus will be there. He will allow certain things to happen to us, that it might strengthen our faith, that we might hope or see that our only hope is to cry to the one who has brought us into this situation. I'm looking forward to this year. I'm excited concerning this year. I don't know what's going to happen. Our final hymn, this, before we come to the table, is God holds the key to all unknown. And I am glad. If He gave it to me, then I would be sad. Where is Jesus? Jesus is in the situation because Jesus brings about the situation. And it's always for His glory and for our good. Dear friends, again, this is the beginning of a new year. It's a new situation. It's a new opportunity. And from the beginning till the end of this new year, the Lord Jesus will be inviting and commanding, as He says in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, that the kingdom is near. Repent and believe the gospel. It's the same old story. It's the same old cross.
It's the same blood. It never changes. It was the blood that was required in the Old Testament. The blood of different animals. And every animal was innocent. And every animal, according to man's seeing, was perfect. A picture of what was to come. God didn't say, just give me an animal. Don't just give me a lamb. I'll receive anything, as long as it's a lamb, as long as it's a goat, as long as it comes because you want to give it to me, I'll accept it. No, he said, I want the best. It was as if he was saying, and those that believed knew what he was saying, that this seed of this woman is coming and he will deal with the sin situation and he will be perfect. I require the perfect because I only give the perfect. Yes, he still is today. He will be inviting, but the inviting is the same as a command. Come unto me is an invitation. Come unto me is a command. I spent some years in the army, and every command that anyone gave me, from a lance corporal up to the lieutenant colonel, every command that was given to me had to be obeyed. There's no option. Jesus is not saying, I'm giving you an option, come to me or not. Jesus says, come unto me, for I am the only one who can give you rest. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. There's going to be times in this coming year when we're going to be thinking we're going to sink. We need to remember what Peter said here, Lord, you save me. Not myself, not the other disciples. And this is the thing that's happening with the people today. They're thinking that the church can save them. And many churches tell them that we are the only ones that can save you. Many people are told it's just been a nice person. My grandson at 16 year old, his mother told me that he was a Christian. I never had an opportunity to speak to him because he wasn't there. But the way that she said he was a Christian, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't go to church, but he just had this feeling that he wanted to be a Christian. So the next time I go up, I'm hoping, she says, I hope you'll speak to him and tell him what it is to be a Christian. People think that God will just accept them because they want to come to God. And what does the Saviour say in Mark chapter 1? He says the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. Turn from your sin. Put your sin behind you. And be saved. Repent and believe. The scriptures tell us elsewhere that to be a Christian is to believe in God and to believe in the one whom he has sent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and be saved. And in this coming year, those of us who are saved are wanting to go through that year knowing that the Lord is forever with me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. One of the greatest verses that really gives me great assurance and great comfort and a great willingness to go on is when David said to his son Solomon, when he had given him the crown, and he says to his son, I want you to build a temple for the Lord. I was wanting to build it, but God said no, because you've got blood on your hands, but your son shall build it. And this is what he said to his son. And his son was just a young man, inexperienced. And David said to him, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it, build it. Fear not, and be dismayed, for the Lord, even my God. And this is what is the encouraging part. It encourages me. Even my God will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. My dear, what an encouraging thing for an old man of 86. That the Lord will not forsake me until I've finished the work that he has given me. And when will that be? I don't know. But it will come to an end. The temple was built. It was finished. And people worshipped there. And this is the encouragement that the Lord says to me, I'm with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. You'll finish the work that I've given you to do. And that's the work for every Christian, not just for those who preach the word, but for every Christian. God is with you until you finish what he has given you to do. And every Christian has something to do, and it's this, it's to proclaim Christ. It's to proclaim a Saviour that has come into the world to save sinners. He has given his life's blood. Again, what we bear determines what we will wear. No cross, no crown. No cross, my friend. This is what happens when there's no cross. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 26. I won't read the whole verse, but just a part of it. This is no cross, no crown. This is the end of a person with no cross and no crown. Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? Don't you know that at the latter end it will be bitter? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. A cross and a crown. And this is what it says, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in the spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So that's telling us there, it's a bitter end if you don't have a crown. It's a good end if you do have a crown. So who's ever listening to this? I pray that the Lord would show them that concerning what we bear determines what we will wear. A crown of righteousness, a crown of life, a crown of gold. He began to sink. He looked around about him and he saw what was around about him. And it only looked like a disaster. And then he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Yes, he brought him into what he thought was a devastation, but it was for his good. And anything that happens to us in this coming year, anything, is for our good. For all things work together for good. For those who love the Lord, for those who are called according to his purposes. So we're starting a new year. We give praise for the old year. He has seen us through it. And the same God that saw us through the last year will see us through this year. But we need to do something. We need to take up our cross. And you notice what Jesus says? Take up your cross daily. It's a daily thing. Denying yourself and carrying that cross. May the Lord grant us the grace and the strength. I remember somebody preaching on the cross. Self-made cross made of balsa wood. You know what balsa wood is? Balsa wood wouldn't hold a nail. We used to have little planes. A balsa wood plane and a little kit. And you could snap it in two. And many people have their own cross. And it's made of balsa wood. And he said other people have their own cross made of themselves. And it's made of pure oak. And it's unbearable. But then there's the cross that Jesus gives us. And everyone that Jesus gives the cross, it's homemade. Just for that person. I can't carry your cross and you can't carry my cross. But you can carry your cross and I can carry my cross. Because it's heaven made. So may the Lord grant us in this coming year that we might stand here, God willing, in a year's time and see God.